Ever had an argument or a disagreement with someone?
The problem is self, this selfish pursuit and insatiable appetite for these things. The problem is self. That's what James is telling us. The war is within. You're battling on the inside and you're struggling because you want these things and you can't obtain them. James is saying, it's inside you. That's the world that is at war. It's on the inside. It's the desire for pleasure, the desire for possessions, and it's the desire for power.
Welcome to PowerPoint with Jack Graham. I'm Scott Wilder. On today's program, Pastor Graham will look at facing our conflicts. Well, now with his message called The Cure for Conflict, here's Pastor Jack Graham.
Would you take God's word and turn with me to the book of James in your New Testament? James chapter 4. James, ever pragmatic, ever personal, speaks to us in chapter 4 about a problem we all face. It's the problem of conflict. And he speaks of how to resolve those conflicts. Now, conflict, we know, is a part of our daily lives. From the great wars of history and the Cold Wars, and we've grown up with that. And we remember the 60s when people were marching for peace. And we wonder, why can't we really have peace? But not only are there wars in the world, there's a war in your world, isn't there? Because not only do we have these international conflicts, but there are conflicts within. And fighting and anger and argument becomes very natural before us. You know why? Because we were all born with an attitude. Even little babies will fight you. You ever tried to put on a diaper, guys, on a little baby? They'll fight you. And those cries are often angry cries. Come and help me. Come and fix me. Do something. Don't just stand there. We're born with an attitude. And our pugnacious nature is as old as time. From the very beginning, when Cain killed his brother Abel, history has been recorded in the blood of wars and conflicts. Of course, the church is not immune. People who say they confess Christ as Savior, people who worship in churches, we know that there has been infighting in churches and denominational conflict and even wars in the name of religion. And we wonder why. And of course, Christians, we all struggle. Let me remind you that James is writing to believers in Jesus Christ. Not unbelievers, but believers. And he raises this issue of why we have conflict and how to resolve this conflict. I'm speaking to couples right now who are saying, you know, we love each other. We really care about our family. We don't want our family to divide, much less divorce. But we just can't get along. We fight constantly. It doesn't have to be a major issue. It normally is a little minor thing that just sets us off. And then there's a blow up and hurt feelings and disaster. Why do we keep fighting? How do we resolve conflict? Some of you are thinking, you know, I can't get through to my kids. You know, I'm fighting with my teenager constantly. Our kids, we can't just get along. Conflict. It's a problem, isn't it? And we can't just learn to live with it because this kind of conflict is so very destructive. And James, therefore, takes it typically, he takes it head on. And so beginning in verse 1 of chapter 4, he writes, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures." Now just keep your Bibles open right there, because I want to take this apart just for a moment as he talks about the source or the cause of conflict. And first of all, he says in verse 2, it is the desire to possess. He talks about these desires that we have that are within all of us. These are normal and natural desires and God-given desires, as a matter of fact. But desires can become distorted. And so James uses a word in verse 1 for desire that literally means hedonism. The word in the Greek language of the New Testament is transliterated over into our language as hedonism, which is desire running rampant, obsessive desire that is unquenchable. And so he talks about the desire to possess. Look again in verse 2. He says, you lust and you do not have. A desire for things, a desire for possessions. Now, I want to remind you very quickly that God has given us all things in Christ Jesus fully and freely to enjoy. There is nothing wrong with having things as long as things do not have you. You know, we are to love people and use things. The problem is we get it backwards. We start using people and loving things. And materialism, the money monster, can become very possessive and obsessive in our lives. The problem is we begin to love things and things take over. And yet we know that things cannot satisfy. Because we were made for more than material possessions. He says you want all of these things and you can't get them. You can't grasp them. You see, if we have all of these things, they don't provide the significance and the security that we think they will bring. We think if I can just get a bigger house or a better house or a nicer car or a better wardrobe or a better job, then I'll be happy. James says you keep striving for these things. That's your goal. That's your magnificent obsession, he says, and you don't have. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Now, you can't gain the world, but even if you could have it all, I mean all of it. Jesus said if you could gain the whole world, it still wouldn't satisfy the deepest longings of the human heart. Because these things cannot possess. Now, we know that conflict often comes as a result of this mad pursuit of possessions. In marriage, money problems are a major cause for family conflict and even breakup. And many of the problems that we face in our families and our marriages today and in our homes are a result of this insatiable appetite for more stuff. So this desire to acquire is a source of conflict. But not only that, the desire for pleasure. Look in verse 3 of chapter 4 of James. He says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Back in verse 1, he says, do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Now, once again, I want you to know that God wants you to enjoy life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. A fulfilling life is promised in Jesus Christ. Don't think of God as being some cosmic ogre who just walking around the parapets of heaven, just trying to find somebody having a good time where he can bop them on the head and say, cut that out. That's not the kind of God that we meet in the Bible. The Bible says the Lord thy God is a sun and a shield. He gives grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. In other words, if it's a good thing, God wants you to have it. If it's good for you, God wants you to have it. But God often says no in order to protect us, to build barriers, to keep us from hurting ourselves. And when God says no in some of his commandments, he's saying don't hurt yourself. When he says yes, he's saying help yourself to happiness. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the pathway of life. For in your presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Don't feel sorry for me because I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm having a great time. And the joy that he gives and the love that you experience in Christ is beyond measure. But what James is talking about is not the pleasure of knowing God and following Him, but he's talking about this mad pursuit of pleasure that we see all around us. Jesus said that we're choked by the world's pleasure. And pleasure may gratify, but it never satisfies. And that's the kind of pleasure that James is saying that is a cause for conflict. It causes this constant war, this battle that's raging on the inside of us. There's no peace when our pursuit is mere sinful or selfish pleasure. Back in the 60s, you know, a lot of people were saying, well, I'm just trying to find myself. And they're still saying, I'm just trying to find myself. I guess I better leave my wife and go out and find myself. I guess I better walk off from my family and my responsibilities and go find myself. A lot of people got lost in the 60s trying to find themselves. Jesus said, if you want to find yourself, lose yourself. Give your life to me, to follow me. He said, you know, the problem is self, this selfish pursuit and insatiable appetite for these things. The problem is self. That's what James is telling us. The war is within. You're battling on the inside and you're struggling because you want these things and you can't obtain them. But James is saying, it's inside you. That's the world that is at war. It's on the inside. It's the desire for pleasure, the desire for possessions, and it's the desire for power. For he says, you ask and you have not because you ask wrongly with improper motives. Verse 3. It's the desire for pride. And pride is the heart of the human predicament. You know, we struggle because, you know, from little kids we were saying, Daddy, look at me. Daddy, watch me. Mama, look at this. And that's fine. That's child's play. But ultimately, we grow up and we keep saying, look at me. People keep trying to be significant. Look at my clothes. Look at my car. Look at my house. Look at me. That's a war. That's a battle that you can't win. It's ego versus ego.
You're listening to Jack Graham's message titled, The Cure for Conflict. This entire message series is available on CD when you visit our website at jackgraham.org. That's jackgraham.org. Before we hear the rest of Pastor Graham's message, don't forget that he wants to send you a CD recording from the 500 Voice Choir at his home church. The CD is called Faithful. Call now while copies are still available. 1-800-795-4627. Our number again is 1-800-795-4627. But once again, with his message, The Cure for Conflict, here's Pastor Jack Graham.
Now, this selfish, sinful pursuit of pride and pleasure and possessions results in great loss. And again, let me remind you, James is talking to Christians here. And he says, for one thing, verses 2 and 3, you're going to lose your power with God in prayer. Because conflict within and conflict without results in conflict with God. Look again in chapter 4 and look at verse 4. He says, adulterers and adulteresses. How's that for political correctness? He's not talking merely about physical adultery. The Jewish recipients of this letter of James would have known full well what he was talking about, because the prophets of Israel often warned Israel, who was married to God, Jehovah God, of spiritual adultery. We're married to Jesus Christ. We promise to follow Jesus Christ. And yet spiritual adultery is a common problem. And he calls, you know what spiritual adultery is? He says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? This spiritual adultery results in a breakage of our fellowship with God. Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That's a battle you can't win. Our arms are too short to box with God. But verse 6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, I love this, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And that word resist there is a strong word. I mean, it is the almighty, all-powerful God. If there is pride, he is holding us off. And we can't get through even in prayer. He says, you have not because you ask not, or you pray and you ask and you do not receive. Verse 3, because you ask amiss. People, you know, you ask people, well, what's prayer? You say, well, that's when you get stuff from God. Well, prayer is worship. Prayer is not just getting stuff from God. Now, God's promised to meet our needs according to His riches and glory in Jesus Christ. I mean, He's going to abundantly provide. But prayer can never be motivated by selfishness. Sometimes we just lay out our plans to God, say, God, hear my plans, bless these plans, and then we get mad at God if He doesn't do what we want Him to do. That's what James is talking about. He's saying, humble yourself before me, call upon me, tear down the idols of your heart. The prophet Ezekiel said, if you want to pray, if you want to have power with God in prayer, get rid of those idols in your heart. You say, well, I don't bow down to idols. I don't remember the last time I did that. But an idol of the heart is anything that you put above God in your life. Anything you love more than God, worship more than God, serve more than God, it can be anything. It can be something good. But if it's an idol, God says, tear it down. He says, if you regard iniquity in your heart, I'll not hear you. And that word regard means cherish or cling to. If I have some area of disobedience in my life to God, I can't expect God to hear me when I pray. And one reason that some of you, when you don't seem to get through and you're probably not getting through, you're just talking to yourself, is because you haven't dealt with that sin in your life and that area of rebellion in your life. And you need to come and bow before God and receive His grace. And that's the good news of this passage, for it says in verse 6, but He gives more grace. And the only sin that God won't forgive is the sin that we won't confess. Because His grace is abundant and His grace is available. And if you want power with God, if you want to be able to pray and connect with God, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you in due season. Problem is, we'd rather fight than pray. We'd rather struggle. We'd rather figure it out. We'd rather try to fix it. We'd rather fight with each other and duke it out rather than simply humble ourselves before God and ask for God's way and God's will in this thing. So he says the solution is grace. And then, typical of James, in verses 7 through 10, he gives short staccato sentences that tell us how to apply grace to our conflict and how to resolve conflict. You want to know how to resolve conflict? The Bible tells us how. He says, first, relinquish control of your life unconditionally. That's what the verse means when it says in verse 7, therefore submit to God. Relinquish control of your life. Say, God, I give myself to You. The word submit there means to come under rank or under authority, as in the military. So we come to God and we say, I want to be under Your authority. I want to stop running my own life and ruling my own life. And so we relinquish control by submitting to God and saying, God, I've messed my life up. I'm empty. I've tried all these things, but it's just not working. Our marriage is falling apart. Our relationships are just ripping apart. I can't get along with people. What's wrong? God says, I've got grace for you. I've got a great gift for you. Humble yourself and turn over the controls of your life to Me. Take hands off your life. If my ego is ruling in my life, I'm going to constantly have this battle. Just fighting, struggling, never winning. But if I can somehow get self and ego off the throne of my heart and give Christ His rightful place of preeminence there, when I put the Prince of Peace to rule in my life, that's when peace begins to flow. That's when grace begins to flow in my life. You come to God about your marriage and you say, God, all we're doing is fighting. We love each other. Divorce isn't an option. We're not going to break up this family, but God, we're miserable. How do we get out of this battle? How do we quit fighting? And God says, give up yourself. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not their problem. It's your problem. It starts on the inside. Surrender your life to me. Give this to me. Let me work on your life. Submit your life to God. That is, relinquish control of your life to Him. Secondly, resist the enemy. He says, resist the devil in verse 7, and he'll flee from you. Don't be a dope. You do have an enemy. And he is an evil enemy. Realize that Satan wants to do you harm. You say, well, I've never met the devil. Well, that could be because you're going the same direction he is. You turn around and go the opposite direction, you'll come face to face with the devil. And the way you resist the enemy is the same way that Jesus Christ resisted him, and that is with the living Word of God. The devil comes and says, you're never going to win this thing. You're never going to win this battle. You're never going to make it in your marriage or in your life. Just remember what you did. Remember what it's like. The next time the devil reminds you of your past, you just remind him of his future. Resist the devil. In the name of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, restore fellowship with God. I love this verse in verse 8. Memorize this one. It says, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. I love that. I've made an amazing discovery in my life. The closer I get to God, the more time I spend with God, the better I get along with people. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. If you're in conflict, spend time with the Prince of Peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Spend time with God. Have a quiet time. Worship. You say, how do I draw near to God? Bible reading, prayer, church attendance, and worship. I mean, it's simple. I mean, James is so practical. He just says, draw near. Remember the prodigal son? He decided he didn't like it back on the farm with dad. He didn't like his black and white, pleasurable, plain world. He said, give me what's coming to me. I'm out of here. He goes. He wasted. He lives it up. He's chasing the wind. He's doing everything possible to find that pleasure, to find through the next high something great. He doesn't find it. He ends up in a pig pen. And he says, I'm going back home. Maybe my father will take me back as a slave. And with dirty clothes, he makes his way back home. And as he draws near to the father's house, the father sees him, according to Jesus, and goes running down the road and embraces him, filth and all, just embraces him and welcomes him and kisses him and puts the robe on him and the ring of sonship, and they kill the fatted calf and have a party. For the father said, my son which was lost is now found. You see, Jesus said, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Restore your relationship with God. And if you're in a condition which you backed off from your faith and you backed off from God and you've tried it your way, now you're ready to come back home. Restore that relationship. Humble yourself. Get on your knees and say, God, I'm coming back to you. And God in His grace will give you a new beginning. One final thing James says, and that is, not only restore your relationship, if you want to have grace, restore your relationship with God, relinquish control of your life, but repent and resist sin in your life. He says, cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, deal honestly and sincerely and sorrowfully with sin. And that's why James says in verse 10 in closing, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. By His grace, He'll never put you down. He'll always lift you up. I invite you to experience that grace today. And if I could put this sermon in a nutshell, it would simply be this. The cure for conflict is the Christ-centered life rather than the self-centered life.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham. And the message, The Cure for Conflict. Remember, you can order a copy of today's message on our website, jackgraham.org. And when you're online, be sure to shop our expanded e-store or stream messages from Dr. Graham to help you grow spiritually. Our website, again, is jackgraham.org. And remember, we would like to send you a complimentary copy of the Praise and Worship CD called Faithful. Just give us a call at 1-800-795-4627 and request your copy today. Our number again is 1-800-795-4627. And when you call, please consider a special financial gift to help PowerPoint continue to broadcast the good news of Jesus Christ on this station. Pastor, explain to us why it's so difficult for us to let go of our ego.
Well, I'd love to do that, Scott, because, you know, it's so very important in all of our relationships at home with our families, at the office, that we check our ego and our logo at the door. And what we need to do is to learn how to live not in pride, but in the living faith that Christ has given us, that James talks about so often in this great book that we're studying together. Someone has said that ego, E-G-O, means edging God out. And ultimately, it's that ego within that separates us from God. In the very beginning, when the first man and the first woman were in the garden and they rebelled against God by eating the fruit that God said not to eat, ultimately it was their ego that got in the way and melted down their own lives and their relationship with God and plunged the whole human race into this same predicament. Sin is in us, the big I, the perpendicular pronoun. But, you know, we don't have to be consumed with self and sin any longer. Jesus came to set you free from your sin. And when you believe that he died on the cross for you and rose again on the third day and invite him to come into your life, he replaces the ego with his own life. When you crown Jesus as Lord of your life and invite him to be your Savior, then he crowds out your ego and his life begins to live in you. And I assure you, this is the cure for the conflicts in your life. If you want peace, you start with peace with God. And peace with God is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Hey, I know that many of you today are dealing with conflict in your life. It's conflict in your home. You just ended maybe a big fight with your husband or your wife today. Or the last words that you said to your children today as you scurried them off to school were not positive words, but rather angry words. Or maybe in the office you're headed towards a conflict even this very day. Why don't you just stop right now and breathe a prayer of faith, living faith in your life. Ask Jesus to take control of your temper and your tongue and your personality and your attitude this day. Ask him to remove your personal agendas and your bad attitude and to tame your tongue and your temper so that you can live rather in conflict, but in the promise of his peace. And I guarantee you, it will cure the conflicts in your life if you will practice this living faith today.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Don't forget, you can order today's message as well as the series it's a part of when you visit us at jackgraham.org. That's jackgraham.org. And join Pastor Graham next time as he explains how you can have significance in your life. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.